to thank Clef for the super intentional songs that he selected. As he said, we're going to be talking about the year of Jubilee today, and all of our songs have reflected the freedom that is brought about in the year of Jubilee and ultimately brought about by Jesus Christ. I'm so excited to talk to you this morning about what I've prepared. This is a topic that I've become quickly passionate about, and I'm excited to share it with you because it's already changed the way that I view the Lord's Supper, just in the depth and the clarity in which I see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So before we get to that point, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. It's a little bit of an awkward story for me. So one time growing up, I'm going to summer camp, and I have to get my basketball shoes out of the car. I'm preparing to play basketball. And my dad gives me the keys. And I go over to the car, and I have to take apart the key to unlock the door, right? So I take apart the key, and then I lose half the key. So like I drop it on the ground, and it's like in the dirt and stuff, and I can't figure out where it went. So I've lost my dad's key. I'm like, I'm going to be in huge trouble. But not all is lost, because I'd taken apart the key. I still have half of it, right? I unlock the door, go inside, get what I need, get back out, and everything's fine. No, wrong. I left the other half of the key in the car and locked it in the car. So I've now lost both halves of my key, and I'm in huge trouble. The rest of camp, I am pretty much just super sad. Anytime I'm like going to get a meal with my friends, anytime I'm going to like play sports instead, it's like, nope, go look for the key. And I'm like digging through the dirt trying to find the key on the ground. So you might be wondering, why am I telling you this random story about me forgetting something? For one thing, it's pretty common. But also, here's what I was thinking in that moment. I thought, if only I could just go back to how things were supposed to be. If only I could just go back a few moments sooner and not make that big mistake. Everything would have been fine. If I had just like not taken apart the key and then lost one half of it on the ground and lost the other half in the car, it would have been okay. And have you ever had a moment where you just wish that you could hit Control Z in real life? You wish that you could kind of just like undo the thing that you just did? I really wish I could just reset that moment and it never happened. There's a biblical principle that's all about a great reset. It's all about the Lord setting things back to how they're supposed to be. And not to be irreverent, but in the sense of like hitting Control Z, undoing the wrongs that have been done. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want you to think about, have you ever had a moment, and it can be more or less serious than the example I just gave, but have you ever had a moment where you really have made a mistake, or you've really gotten in a bad situation, or things are just not going well for you at all, and you really wish you could just go back to when everything was peaceful, you could go back to when things were the way that they were supposed to be? That question there is what the year of Jubilee is all about. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. So the year of Jubilee may or may not be something that you're particularly familiar with. I had heard things about the year of Jubilee thrown around for a while, but I've never understood it super well, so I've committed some time to try to understand it, and I'm sure there are people in the room who still understand it better than me. But my ultimate goal for this lesson is to explain the year of Jubilee in a way that's clear and easy to understand and deepens your understanding of Jesus. Ultimately, this is all leading to Jesus, and we're going to see that in some really cool ways. So here's what the year of Jubilee is. Every 50 years, everyone was set free. The land got a rest. The people got a rest. And everything was set back to how it was supposed to be. Let's see, starting in verse 8, and it's going to describe when the year of Jubilee comes. Starting in verse 8, you shall count out 7 weeks of 7 years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. That may have sounded a little bit hard to understand. But 7 cycles of 7 years representing the Sabbath system. The Sabbath system was the Sabbath on the 7th day of the week. And there was a Sabbath system for the land every 7 years. So 7 times 7 will be 49 years. So in the 49th year, on the Day of Atonement, a trumpet was sounded. And we're going to read about that here. Pick up with me in verse 9. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. So in the 49th year, on the Day of Atonement, there's a trumpet that's sounded for an announcement. And we're about to find out what this announcement is for. Verse 10. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, when each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his clan. In the 50th year, it will be a jubilee for you. And what does that mean? Proclaiming liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Now, what does that look like practically? It tells us down here below. It says, each of you shall return to his property, each of you shall return to his clan. What's that referring to? So returning to your property is God had set out spaces, places in the promised land for each of the tribes. And he'd set out, he provided for each of the families that were going into the land. But over the course of history, over the course of the time of the Israelites living in the promised land, what would happen is some people would go into a huge debt. Some people would have to sell themselves into slavery. Some people would lose what they had for one reason or another. But God provided a great reset to where these people who found themselves in a horrible situation could go back to the way that things were supposed to be. You remember my story about the key? Just wanted to go back. This is what God is providing. Let's read a few more details in the next verse. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. So not only are people set free, not only does the land go back to the people whom it belonged to when they lost it or sold it away because they were in debt, but the land will rest and the people will rest, which connects us to the Sabbath system. I want to talk about three major themes in the year of Jubilee, and that's freedom, restoration, and rest. I want to look back again to this phrase, proclaiming liberty throughout all the land. That's something that we're going to kind of keep on touching on. We see restoration in the way that people are returned to their property. People receive their property once again. We see restoration in the way that people who have been sold into slavery get to go back to their families. I want you to consider for a moment how emotional and important and what a huge blessing it would be to be in slavery, to be indebted, to be in bondage. And then God says, I've undone everything. It's back to how it's supposed to be. He provides us freedom. He restores us. And he provides rest through the year of Jubilee. Now, there's a concept that I want to touch on, which is, yes, this is a great thing. It's cool. Like, I think we can all agree it sounds like a cool thing to get to go back to how things are supposed to be. If you were indebted to wash away that debt, I have student loan debt, and it sounds pretty awesome to me. Like, that just goes away, right? But why did God do this? What's kind of the point? Verse 23 and verse 41 give me a really cool insight. God says in verse 23 of Leviticus 25, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. Okay, now look over at verse 41. This is one of my favorite parts of this concept, by the way. Look at verse 41. This is referring to a slave or his family returning back to their home on the year of Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. Did you notice the common thread between those two passages? There was a common thread, and that's the property is returned to those to who it originally belonged to, and those who were in slavery were freed because it all belongs to the Lord. God frees the people because they are his, and he has the authority to free them. God frees the land because it is his, and he has the authority to free them. Now think about the concept of rest. Remember, we're touching on freedom, restoration, and rest. God gives the land rest because God has authority over the land. God gives the people rest because he has authority over the people. But let's think about this practically for one moment. Do you see any potential problems with all of this? Does it seem very practical? Let's just touch on one, for instance. Did you guys catch the part where it said, like, you're not allowed to sow or reap? Farming was a huge, huge part of Israel's economy. And I believe this is written right before they went into the promised land. So God is preparing them for this. But it's one thing to not sow or reap during the Sabbath day, which is once a week. It's another thing to not sow or reap for a whole year. So if you look at it with a super, at first look, everyone's going to starve and die for the year of Jubilee. So it's like everyone's free, but you're all dead. So it doesn't really help you out very much. Here's what's really cool. God gives an explanation in verse 20 through 22. Verse 20 through 22 of Leviticus 25. And I know we're lingering here in Leviticus 25 for a while, but I really want you to have a comprehensive picture of what the year of Jubilee looks like, because I haven't for a long time. And it's going to bring us to the table in a way that reflects Jesus in a really cool way. 20 through 22. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? And it says seventh year here, because this is a cycle of sevens, seven times seven, the year of Jubilee. So this same concept reflects on the year of Jubilee. And what shall you say if we shall eat on the seventh year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop? I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, the year after the seventh year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year, when its crop arrives. This is all about trust. And this is so beautiful. God says, if you will stop for 1 year, the year of Jubilee, and more specifically, each Sabbath year, when the land is to rest every 7 years, I will provide for you. It's kind of cool. It reminds me a lot of Joseph when he was with Pharaoh, and he said, there's going to be the skinny cows, the fat cows. There's going to be 7 years of famine, but before that, 7 years of plenty. And the Lord will provide those 7 years of plenty so that you'll be okay during the 7 years of famine. So what I want you to get from all this is, once again, the year of Jubilee brings freedom, restoration, and rest. And the reason why is because these things all belong to God, and he just needs us to trust him. Now, there's another place in the Old Testament where this concept is touched on, and that's Isaiah 61. The same language is used in Isaiah 61, and it's going to serve as a really cool bridge to Jesus. So this was written in Israel to be hopeful to them in their current state, but it has a deeper meaning that we'll see in a moment. This is from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you remember that phrase from earlier, to proclaim liberty to the captives? And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is, I believe, in reference to the year of Jubilee. To proclaim liberty to the captives. This is the exact phrase that's used in Leviticus 25 to explain what happens when the year of Jubilee finally comes. Now, you might be wondering, why did we go all the way to Isaiah? Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. This is my favorite passage we're going to look at because it reflects Jesus' purpose so clearly. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. What book were we just in? Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Here, Jesus Christ proclaims to be our year of Jubilee. He reads the passage that talks about the year of Jubilee and says, today this has been proclaimed. And I want you to picture this scene for a moment. Jesus gets up there. He has a scroll of Isaiah, which is really interesting to think because with a scroll, you can't just like mark the spot and flip right over to it. He has a scroll of Isaiah. So he scrolls all the way to Isaiah 61. So it probably took him a while. There's like just like a pile of scroll going down here. Everybody's watching him and like waiting when he's going to start talking. Then he reads it. And then people are so, do you remember that passage? I don't have it on me right now. But do you remember that passage that says like Jesus spoke with authority and that was different and people noticed that? Jesus read this in a way that had people's attention so much that he went, sat down, and the entire congregation was just staring at him to where it's like he has to say something. Everybody's just like in shock, staring at Jesus. So what does he say? This is like a mic drop moment. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus here claims to be the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee. I want to tell you something sad and something really amazing. The Israelites never celebrated the year of Jubilee from what we can tell historically. So this was like this beautiful thing that I've been hyping up this whole time. The year of Jubilee. The slaves are set free. People in debt are free of their debt. People are out of bondage. They never celebrated it. Jesus is that fulfillment of the year of Jubilee. And guess who didn't celebrate Jesus either? The Israelites that he came to. Jesus is the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee, but it's up to us if we want to take part in the year of Jubilee. I want to touch on a couple reasons and a couple ways that we see Jesus as the year of Jubilee. Jesus provides us with freedom. I want to read a brief passage from John chapter 8, 34 through 36, and for sake of time, you don't have to turn there with me. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We are the slaves. We are the people in bondage. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned. I have sinned, and we have an unmeasurable debt. But Jesus has set us free in the spirit of the year of Jubilee. Jesus restores us. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. Therefore, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God has restored us to himself. God has reconciled us through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Finally, because of what Jesus has done for us, because he has finally fulfilled the year of Jubilee that Israel never followed, we can finally have rest. Just as the Sabbath system was set up for man, and just as the Sabbath system was set up so that we can finally rest in a relationship with God, this is all supposed to represent what we were supposed to have in Eden in the first place. We were supposed to have a relationship with God, have peace with him, be able to rest in a relationship with God. But man sinned. Then God set up the Sabbath so that people could experience that rest once again. The Pharisees misused the Sabbath. Then he set up the year of Jubilee that we can experience this rest with him. They never celebrated the year of Jubilee. But Jesus has come, and we have accepted the year of Jubilee through Jesus Christ. He has provided us rest. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. God has finally provided us the rest that he's been trying to give to his people throughout all generations. Today, as we come to the table, we have a unique opportunity to enter into the rest and the relationship with God that he has been setting up throughout all of time. God has provided us freedom. God has provided us restoration. And God has provided us with rest. I want to conclude with Psalm 116. Read Psalm 116 with me. As we think about the relationship that we've entered with the Lord through the blood and body of Jesus Christ, that we've entered through baptism, as we think through the pain that Jesus went through to save us, as we look to the rest that we finally have and the relationship which we've finally come to and been able to just experience and rejoice in the blood of Jesus, Psalm 116, verse 12 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." Let us lift up the cup of salvation today as we partake of the bread and partake of the cup.